Welcome to the Autonomic Healing Podcast. I'm Tom Pels.
And I'm Ruth Lawrenson. We'll be unpacking what it looks like to activate your brain to holistically manage stress and trauma that bring healing to the mind, body, and spirit.
Being free to live authentically as humans.
Thank you for joining us. Let's get this conversation started. Hey, Tom.
Hey.
We're on our second season now, and we last episode we were talking about just this, the fact that we're going to go into this deep dive of rational intimacy. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we wanted to talk about today was just the importance of change. Mm. You know, which, and we've touched on it before.
The reality of it.
The reality of it. Yeah. And it's not just something that happens to you or comes across your path or whatever. It actually is life itself, change. Mm-hmm. We are constantly changing as human beings. But then it also can be this cause of stress and trauma for a lot of people. But then it's also what we really want to go into today, how it can be interwoven in that paradigm of rational intimacy.
Yes.
And how it can be an incredibly amazing part of life, not always easy. So do you want to kind of kick us off in terms of just some of the things that we wanted to share in this conversation?
Sure. From the perspective of the tsunami of stress and rational intimacy, both involve and are inherently about change. One is a detrimental, destructive, the tsunami of stress, change, mm-hmm. and how to deal with it or not. Rational intimacy is how to deal with what can be done with change mm-hmm. that is empowering and growing and full of possibility and its growth. The other one is more toward death.
So change is like, it just, you've said this before, change just is. I remember it. I think it was on one of our first episodes.
Yes.
And, but I guess it's our response to change
yes.
is the key. And so we can either see it as a, oh my gosh, this is such a hard thing to go through. Or we can see it as it's this, when I think of actually if change didn't happen, we'd be super bored. You know, like we need change as human beings.
If change didn't happen, the absence of change is incredibly stressful. If you think about the term boring, that's what that boring is. Boring mm-hmm. is an absence of change. Mm-hmm. It's an extended sameness, mm-hmm. which can be incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
So it's how we experience change, how we perceive change, how we respond to change. That's the difference between the tsunami of stress
and
rational intimacy.
Yeah.
Because change, and here's the little thing that is hiding behind the curtain, so to speak, change inherently includes and involves loss.
Yes.
Something was and now isn't, and is and can be, or was and is, and here we go.
And so as part of change, I would say, would you say that part of change is grieving?
Oh, inherently. Mm-hmm. Coming to terms with loss.
Yeah.
And grief, that's a deep pool to dive into. And one of the most famous paradigms about grief was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and David Kessler and the five stages of grieving, which most people have some familiarity that there is such a thing. Many people know what those five are. A lot of people don't know that there was ultimately seven, but there was denial. And grieving isn't just about somebody dying.
Yeah.
It can be
a job changing. It's change, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Something was, and now it's no longer that thing.
Whenever there is loss, to some degree, for us to be healthy, there has to be grief. We just, it's one of those emotions that is what I call healthy, but we don't like it. It's healthy to grieve. To not grieve is not healthy.
Yes.
And grieving can involve all sorts of healthy or unhealthy emotions, which is why coming to terms with change, which inevitably involves some loss, because that's what that is. It was this, now it's this. And those stages, I think of them less as stages of grieving, because I think to think of them as stages inevitably puts us in a this, then this, then this, then this mindset.
Yeah.
And I think it's more fluid, so I tend to think of them more as issues involved in and experiences of denial. No, that's not dead. That's not dying. I haven't lost that.
Mm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Denial, anger. I'm frustrated, irritated, angry about, I don't have that. And that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think it's gone, but we get angry about that. And then bargaining. I wonder if, or what about, or maybe, or how about, and there's that bargaining. It can be with ourselves, with others, with God. Depression, sadness, depressed, hopeless, and acceptance. Okay, that's gone. Let's move along, people. There's nothing to see here. But Kubler-Ross revised the 5 to 7, adding testing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really? Is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Or what about? Or how about this? How about that? Testing and acceptance. Whether there's 5 or 7, there's all these elements about. For me, when I'm talking about change and I'm coming to terms with it,
yes,
dealing with it, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, simpler for me, it can be helpful at times. And I just think of 3
yeah.
things. 3 aspects, which have all these other elements and aspects of them, but 3, as in that was, this is, and what might be in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of past, present, and future. And with grief or coming to terms with loss, change, it can be dominated by what was.
Yeah. So you're stuck in
and
the
trying
past.
To hang on to and not let go.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think people stay in that space? Like, what is that? Is that the tsunami of stress?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's these patterns.
Yes.
That, and it may be some of the perceptions involved that we will talk about as time mm-hmm. goes on.
Absolutely.
That keep you holding on to, whether it's like, love me tender, or mm-hmm. you know, all of these,
yeah,
you know, that keep you hanging on to
my
the past.
Way the highway.
Yeah,
yeah.
For some reason, you cannot let go.
Right, because it's of the significance, what it meant, the value, the things that were positive or gave significance, even if they were negative. This is a weird one about grieving, and not even letting go of what was awful. If something was awful or terrible or traumatic, we often won't grieve that and move on, because the suffering, the awfulness of it gave me significance. I mattered because it was so terrible.
Hmm. Well, there's an identification there, isn't
right.
there? Right.
Yeah. And an identity in it. And I don't want to lose the identity. I don't want to lose the significance. It's kind of like a morbid curiosity of, oh, that was so terrible that it's significant.
Mm-hmm.
And It's like,
I mean, an identification in the trauma, in the.
And if I don't have that, am I special? Am I significant? Do I matter? No. So we don't let go of it. With the what was, and if we don't grieve, it can't become what was and what is. Because what was is what is.
Yes, yeah.
And it's always a present tense. And so the way I talk about it is, that was then, and then is now. Or that was, and still is.
So the past is living in the present. Yeah.
Dominating it. Compromising it. Keeping us from living the present. Because that was so impactful. Not having grieved it, what was is what is.
So that's why grieving is so important when we're thinking about change, because we will not be able to embrace change in a healthy way, which it can be incredibly beneficial. It will keep us in almost seeing change as something that's coming against us, or as detrimental, or if we don't grieve, we don't get hold of.
As a threat to.
Yeah, if we don't get hold of healthy grieving.
Yes.
And so talk about also, because you, so you've said in your mind, for you, when you're, you know, thinking about grieving, it was what was, what is, and then what will be. So that, what, talk about that third space.
Yeah. With trauma that is not grieved, what was, because it's what is, it's what it's anticipated to be. More of the same. That loss takes on a life of its own and colors what we think could even be. It's like, I've used the analogy of swimming with an anchor. That trauma and loss can be an anchor, and we may be really good swimmers, but if we're trying to swim with an anchor, we're not going to do well, and then we're not going to get very far, because inevitably it's going to drag us down. So I've used a metaphor of a seed.
Yes.
And we even talk about the seeds of change, the potential for what might be. But let's say with a sort of unhealthy, maybe even to the degree of a pathological grief of loss, I'm so attached to my little seed. And I know that what's in that seed, there's so much possibility and what can come from that, but I don't want to let go of my seed, because that seed is very special to me and it's been very significant to me. And I love my seed. The whole point of the seed is that it's something that something else can come from, or that can grow into, and it can become something. But I don't want to lose my seed. If I plant my seed in the ground, I don't have my seed anymore. I remember when my kids were really little, and like with most school children, there is that little learning experience with a styrofoam cup full of some soil, and you got a seed, and you put the seed in. And I can remember talking with many other parents and that sort of thing. There were some parents who would wonder, why isn't this seed sprouting? Why? And only to discover that the child just kept digging it up to look at the seed, because they didn't want to lose their seed. And they put it in the ground and they couldn't see it in the soil. And is that still there? Oh, there's my seed. But every time they disturbed the soil, it meant that they were disturbing the germination process. So the thing never grew. Or so they didn't really want to put their seed in that soil. I like my seed. My seed is really special. I don't want to put it in that cup. And so they never actually plant the thing. But the seed has to go in the... And then, in a sense, dies. It changes. It's not what it was. But if it doesn't do that, it doesn't grow. And that's loss.
Yeah, so for what will be,
Yes.
That is always loss. To embrace what will be,
is
we will need to get to embrace the loss. But it's all part of the same thing. It's
if like, we don't, then what will be and can be the future, that when we're living in it, isn't the future anymore. It's the present. We don't get to experience that.
And so without an understanding, so we're talking about the seeds of change. So, but without an understanding that actually our response to change is incredibly important, because if we can respond to it in a healthy way and be okay, it's part, there's part loss and there's part hope in change all at the same time. And if we can embrace, would you say that? So if we can, you just gave me a funny look.
Embrace, like, internalize. The funny look is because I'm already thinking ahead of where this might go. Anyway.
So change is this kind of combination of loss and hope that involve, that will absolutely involve some level of grieving. But if we do not engage with the fact that we could respond to change in a way that, well, we're in the tsunami of stress and we actually could not enter into the hope part of it.
Absolutely.
That's why it's so important to talk about, right?
Don't mess with my seed. Don't take my seed.
And then nothing
I don't
want to
lose my seed. Right. And I feel the stress of, what do I do with my seed? Somebody takes my seed. I lose my seed. Because I was hanging onto it and I didn't plant it. And I just kept hold of it and I wouldn't let go of it. Because that seed meant so much to me. And who am I without my seed, so to speak, if that makes sense. But we plant seeds, but that's a loss. I don't have the seed anymore. And the seed isn't anymore what it was that I stuck in the ground, in the soil.
It's changed.
Right. And then going further with this metaphor of the seed and the soil, I don't see it. I may not see what's happening. It's naturally occurring, the changes, because it's under the soil. Or having stuck it in the soil, is that still there? Does that still matter? What's happening to that? And so we root around in the soil, keep digging it up, and it can't germinate.
It can't
and grow into
on.
Something
yeah.
new, because we keep disturbing the soil. Or we obsess about, I can't see it under the soil. And I can't see that. And this is where the element of hope comes in. See, I would add that to those elements of grieving. Shock, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, testing, acceptance, hope. Grieving, to me, isn't just coming to the place of acceptance of and acknowledgement of the loss, but inherent in it is the hope of what can be. That's grieving. The other is grieving that's not completed, but it is grieving. It's just not completed grieving, so to speak. Without that sense of hope and nurturing and empowering and growing, I don't think it's really grieving. See, that may be because we think of grieving and death and loss not inherently as just parts of living and life and growing. That's my point. Grieving, living, loss, growth, that is living. It's not living if there isn't loss and coming to terms with the loss, so that the loss can become something new.
So I think what you're saying is that we can often see grieving as just the loss, but it isn't. Is the connection is it's really the journey between one. It's a transition. It's journeying the transition that will involve feelings that come alongside loss, mm-hmm. and then feelings that come alongside hope.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Think of your own body. The reality of what's occurring is that cells are constantly dying and new ones are growing. The body we inhabit is constantly dying and regenerating. That's living. Mm-hmm. Death and life.
Yeah.
Loss and gain. That's living. But we've compartmentalized grieving and loss and death to the place where it's not inherently just a natural part of and is inherently living. See, that's the shift.
Yeah.
Is that not life and death, living and dying, but living that is constantly loss and growth. But if we don't incorporate the loss, like the little seed in the mm-hmm, cup, mm-hmm. and I'm digging it up, or I'm not watering it, or I'm obsessing over it, we don't get the new that grows from it.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, Tom, as you were talking, even just in nature, we see this, you know, that how the seasons work and mm-hmm. the trees losing their leaves, and there is a death there, you know, for new life. And so there's a beauty in the journey. Without it, without loss,
yes.
there isn't new life. And so to be able to journey healthily in that space of change, in that aspect which will involve grief, mm-hmm. we'll miss out on the life.
And there is mm-hmm. one more thing,
yeah,
if I could. In what has died, what we have lost, we can think of it as something that can decompose and be the soil to nurture what can grow
yeah.
from it.
Mm-hmm.
We tend as human beings to sense or perceive threat to well-being. And we interpret well-being as I'm happy, I'm fine, things are good. Loss disrupts that. We have a sense of I've lost that. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because that is change. And change is. Because then life can be. And if there isn't loss, you don't have life. And life can't come and be nurtured mm-hmm. from what was lost.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that you talk about, I think what I'm hearing from this conversation is to, let's not compartmentalize loss from hope mm-hmm. or death from life even. And it's interesting, I mentioned this to you earlier, but you know, this week for me, my mum passed away a number of years ago. It would have been her birthday this week. And so I think the way I approach it, and I not always have approached it this way, but I see her life in me and in my mm-hmm. kids. And so that's the kind of the legacy of death. And that's obviously an overt classic way that we would see grief is losing a loved one.
Yes.
But we have this in all sorts of areas of change where it might not be losing a loved one, but it might be jobs or change in any aspect of our lives, I guess. But the idea is that we can't just see it as a loss. We've got to see the continuum into hope and into what's next and into life.
Because yeah. if we don't get to do that, then it's just that was then and then is now.
Mm-hmm.
That was then, this is now. Because this is now, and the then contributed to it, boy, what might the future be?
Yeah.
And that enriches it.
And it's really
or
not.
Or compromises it.
And in some ways, then it doesn't become a loss. you know, you've lost something.
But you've gained.
Yes.
And that's grieving. Not doing it without hope. There is grieving, but I would argue that you're not really grieving unless you have that hope.
Yeah. That's so good, Tom. Well, we have to wrap this episode up, but we'll be back next time. We're going to continue on this kind of journey into rational intimacy. These are the topics we're going to be talking about. But I love just touching on that topic of change and how grieving is part of that, but how it's this continuum of loss, hope,
yes,
journeying into that space.
Yes.
You've been listening to the Autonomic Healing Podcast.
Join us next time as we continue in our conversations with Tom. If you're interested in pursuing your own autonomic healing journey and want to find a practitioner, visit our website, innerworkings.org. See you at the next episode.